Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for your love that has spoken to us through the words that we have just heard. And we pray, O Lord, that we may hear your word as the truth, and we pledge ourselves to follow it to the best of our abilities. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Like a lot of families, my family likes to play games. In fact, just in the last couple of weeks, Allie's been home. She says, let's play a game. There's something about, especially as they get older, they come back and wanting to do those things that we did as they were growing up. Well, on New Year's Eve, we've got a group that likes to get together, and the kids, the grown-up kids now, as well. And we play a game called Shanghai Rummy. Now, one of the things about the game is that you have to build different combinations of three of a kind and runs of four up to ten. And as the game goes along, each part of it gets more complex. And eventually, you've got to buy cards in order to make everything that you need to make for that particular hand. And you can only buy so many. Well, what often happens is we've got six, seven, or eight or more people around the table playing, and somebody across the way from you puts a card down. That's the one card you need. But that all these people before you can pick up that card before you, or you've bought all your cards, and you can't buy any more. And you look at it, and you moan. That's the one card I need! And at that point, you decide, I'm losing this game, and you just start setting yourself up for the next. It's a very difficult thing in a game like that to let it go. We have a hard time letting go. It's hard to let go. When we want something, when we believe in something, when we like things to happen a certain way, and it can or they don't, it's hard to let it go because our focus has become so narrow. It's kind of like we've made up our hands and that's the one card I need, and we can't see anything else in it. We can't see how things should be different. In many ways, I think this is what Jesus is talking about in our Mark passage. He's talking about letting go. Letting go of encumbrances. Things that we place upon ourselves and God. This is about grace and hope, of being gentle with ourselves and gentle with others. The wonderful reality is that little things can become big. That's the whole idea of this parable of the mustard seed. It's the tiniest of seeds, and yet a big bush or tree comes out of it. Put a small seed in the ground. Cover it with dirt, water it, let the sun shine on it, and it will grow. Think of the small sunflower seed, and out of it the stately sunflower that can stand 8-9 feet tall. Put an acorn in the ground and see what happens. You end up with a stately oak tree. Jesus is talking kingdom talk here about God's kingdom here on earth. And God's kingdom is a time and a place where people do God's will. And it actually does happen from time to time on earth in little but significant ways. God's kingdom on earth is a time or a place where people are nurtured, cared for, and respected. And it becomes from the tiniest seed of an idea in somebody's mind. And they think, this should be done this way. Or these people should be respected because. And out of that, an idea germinates. And nothing can stop it. But people have tried. People try to control the kingdom around them. Governments try to stop people from talking about justice and right. Churches and religious institutions try to force people to believe what they, the leaders, want them to believe. But it's amazing sometimes how something as a kingdom of God idea can take hold and just grow into something big. Think about the 1960s civil rights movement and how that just grew through the South and the North. The church has often tried to manipulate God, to control God by drawing character, economic, social, racial, sexual descriptions of the kind of people that God wants to be in the church. The church has been dogmatic, has been pragmatic, has been democratic in our description of the church. The church, in spite of our ministrations, though, has generally proven to be the stronger of the two, thanks to God. I was thinking of that church being pragmatic. I remember a story. A gentleman walked in to the church secretary's office, and he said, "Is the head hog in?" She said, "What, sir?" I said, "Is the head hog in? The hog that runs this trough." She said, "Sir, we do not talk about the pastor in such language. How rude of you to speak about him like that." "Well," the man said, "I was going to talk to him about giving church a large sum of money." "Excuse me," said the secretary, "let me see if the old sow's in." That's pragmatic. We do what we need to do in order to get what we want. But that's not necessarily kingdom talk. And I'm reminded of all of this as we celebrate our Christian education program today, as we recognize the youth who have been a part of it. We try so hard in life to create children into our own image, or if we don't like who we are, into the opposite image. And yet, every now and then, children come out with these wonderful, fresh, new, accepting and trusting actions and words that just kind of, wow, blow us away. And yet, that's how God wants us to be. That's how God wants us to see them. Remember, he said, except as you become like a child, your only children will enter the kingdom of heaven. Each person, youth, adult, is a mustard seed. And we have to let that flourish. We have to let them work to become the person that God wants them to be, to be touched by God. And in doing so, we have to kind of let go. We have to let go of our understanding of the way they should be. We need to let go of our definitions of how things should be and let God's work God's larger and more grand vision of the kingdom. Which, as the Mark passage says, God's going to do anyway. Martin Luther once put it this way: "While I drink my little glass of Wittenberg beer, the gospel runs its course." God is the one in control, Martin Luther says. Whether I'm working or not, God is always working. The kingdom is always perking and working in the lives and hearts of people. And we just need to let go of our idea of how things should be and let God. We need to worship God, listen, and study God's Word. You know, we've worked really hard this year to get an adult education class going. And we're getting better at it. And I do want to say right here, but this summer we're going to have a 6-week series of adult ed with the three churches once again participating. And each week is going to stand on its own. It'll be a different theme or study each time we meet. But please be looking for that. We need to study, to listen, that we might be open to God's Word and Spirit and do God's work in our lives. And we need to be able to say, well, you know, I didn't get the card this time. Well, I know God has bigger things for me and the world I live in. It's hard to let go. But you know, I find that the people who are able to do so are generally really nice people. A lot less stressed out. The kind of people others like to be around. Their seed has grown and they provide a wonderful place for others to come and just kind of nest in their presence and enjoy their grace. So I guess the question is, can we let go and be that kind of person? Amen.